I got a couple questions. One is, what's the max horsepower that boat can handle?
Well, the one that was proposed to us for the budget was 150. I believe you can probably go up to a 200 or a 250 on it. But, you know, for our purposes, probably not necessary, and it's going to guzzle up some more gas, and your maintenance is going to be a lot more expensive.
Yeah, I understand that. In my boating experience, if you're not at the max horsepower, especially in that situation, you may need to tow a boat that's in danger or something, and you're going to end up not with the power that you need at the time, especially with the current that you get in the inlet sometimes.
Right.
If you have a boat that's in distress and you're trying to tow it against the current, and especially if it's a larger boat than this boat, it's gonna struggle.
Mm-hmm.
And then along the lines with the, so I would recommend going with the largest horsepower if that you can. And then number two is, it shows an aluminum prop, and I would suggest going with a
stainless steel.
Yeah.
I think we have the benefit here in Ponce Inlet to have CETO and Boats U.S. very close. I mean, mm-hmm. CETO is actually in Ponce Inlet, so
yeah.
For towing purposes, I'm pretty sure we can get them there pretty quickly.
Well, their response time is a little difficult, and then also CETO or towboat, they're not going to hook up to a boat that's in distress just to hook up to it, because when they hook up to it, they've taken possession of that boat. That's their boat now. So.
Yeah, I think the challenge for us is just going to be, at least in the first year, just to kind of stay in our lane and determine what our good capabilities are with the boat. I'm sure, you know, the first several months, again, if it's approved by council and the mayor, is, you know, we'll be issuing a lot of warnings and a lot of education, because Ponce Inlet hasn't had one in years, and people aren't used to it either.
Right.
And so it's going to be a bit of a surprise when they see a Ponce Inlet public safety vessel coming out. So.
Well, and I think being only a 21-foot, we're not looking at them trying to save a boat out that's in distress. They're going to be looking at maybe possibly saving people that are drowning. I mean, that would make more sense to me.
But it's
always going to be about keeping the officer and the boat safe versus, I mean, that's got to be the priority.
Yeah, I mean, there's probably countless scenarios that we can all come up with, but until you're out there and you really see what's in front of you, you really don't know how you'll act. But.
What you're faced with is different than what sounds good when you're on the water. So I'm U.S. Coast Guard captain. I worked for CETO at one point. So I understand a little bit about what goes on out there, and as a police officer, I'm sure if you see somebody in distress that you're trying to save, you're going to do whatever you can do at the time. So let's give them the best tools to work with to give them the best opportunity.
Yeah,
to keep themselves
safe
and the citizens.
Yeah, so. Exactly. Within the budget
that's kind of come up with,
yeah, which is always
budget.
Our challenge.
Yeah, yeah.
To Ms. Worst's point, you know, if we had a 40-footer, I'd go out and save some big ships.
Yeah.
Well, with a 40-footer, then you couldn't get down some of the canals over there.
That's true, right?
So, I mean, there's always challenges,
right.
But let's give them the best. I just feel let's give them the best opportunity when they're put in a tough situation to make a decision.
Yeah, agreed. Sure. Excellent.
And to Mr. McConaughey's point, maybe it's worth meeting with CETO and see if the city can have an agreement with them under certain circumstances. I get standing in your own lane. I'm just thinking forward here and what you could do. But it seems like you can have some sort of agreement with CETO on costs or what have you under emergency situations.
Yeah, and usually the Coast Guard's going to be there as quick or faster than CETO is going to be there. So.
Anybody else have anything for Chief Leisure?
Yeah, on the 32K for the, is it you're going to hire a person or two people, or is it going to be your staff?
Yeah, so it's going to be existing staff, and this estimate is just for overtime. So
no,
what I don't want to do is pull people off the street in Ponce Inlet.
So it's incentive pay to get, so you're looking at $32,000 of incentive pay to be on the boat?
That's correct,
for
and it's also, again, it depends on the number of deployments, and it could even, I think as I spoke of last time, let's say we only put one person on the boat for a deployment, then that price goes down, right, instead of having two
right.
people. I know FWC runs one person.
But it's not going to be manned 24 hours. You don't have somebody just sitting there
getting
the incentive pay. It's when you like when we're busy and stuff like that, you say who wants to be on the boat?
Yeah, I think the idea was definitely for the busy holiday weekend, so the Memorial Days, the Labor Days, the July 4th weekends, probably that entire weekend, depending on the weather. And then if you're looking at 50 deployments throughout the year, you know, that's really just one day a week, if you think about it. And so it would just be those nice nice weather summer days, or a deployment could be a 10 p.m. call that we get of some type of emergency out there, and we have the boat operators that are actually at work that can deploy the boat. So
everybody's going to be able to ride the boat. So if there is an emergency and somebody's got to man the boat, you pull them off the street and put them right on the boat?
So it depends. If I always have to have a minimum of two people in town at all times. So I would never have less than two people working in the town of Ponce Inlet. So if we can't put, if we can put one operator on and it's safe for that one operator, we could do that. Or if we don't think it's safe at all, then we can call the Coast Guard or we can call Volusia County if they're available. Yeah, I think it depends on the scenario. But, you know, when I first talked about this idea, and even today, my first responsibility is the town, right, is the roads in the town and the people in the town. So that's always going to take precedence.
Yeah, I just want to know how it was all going to work and everything, because if you got the boat and all of a sudden you got an emergency, where does it, you know,
there could be a phone call?
You know, I need somebody on the boat right now. Well, who's going to go on the boat? You know, nobody's around. And
yeah, so, I mean, I think you have to set those expectations. There could be times where the boat is sitting there and I have no operators available.
Right.
And so we have to go with the Coast Guard or somebody else.
So there will be times where probably you won't be able to get somebody on. I think you'll always be able to get somebody on there. Can't you, like, put somebody on call or something for a boat?
We could.
Possibly?
Yeah, maybe? We could, sure. Mm-hmm.
That's all I had. I just wanted to know how that was going to work.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Quick question. You said free storage. Where will it be stored at?
So we have, right now we have three possibilities. I'm working with Harbor Village. I'm working with Off the Hook. And then if neither one of those work out, then it would probably just simply be sitting on the trailer at the fire department. Yeah, so the challenge with the boats, and those of you that are on boats, is I don't want to keep it in the water, because a lot of things happen to boats when you keep them on the water besides all the gunk that gets on them. So the goal is to keep it out of the water, and that's a challenge with when you're working with Harbor Village or Off the Hook, because it could be, especially with a rigid inflatable, you can keep a boat in the water for a couple of weeks, take it out and wash it, but the inflatable part can get a little mucky. So that's what we're working on now, is kind of those logistics. But those, one of those three locations.
Do we have any officers that have their captain's license?
Yeah, I do. I have a Coast Guard officer. He was in the Coast Guard for 21 years. And then I have another officer who worked the Marine Patrol in Coral Gables.
He's going to get overtime.
Yeah.
If I let him.
Yeah.
Anybody else? Thank you, sir.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you, Chief. Now, if I can just add to that, this is going to be a joint staff vessel, the fire department, police department. And, you know, we plan on training our folks to be operators as well.
So oh, okay.
If there is a need, we have more people that could deploy the boat if it needed to get out there. So
that's good. I didn't know that.
But it's a work in progress. You know, this is new to us. We have thoughts and ideas, but until you start doing it, you'll fine-tune them and tweak them as time goes on. But that's our goal.
If you have a fireman on there, are you going to have to train him in law enforcement? Or
no.
Is that, you're not going to?
No, it's going to be a public safety boat.
He's technically not his backup.
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
And the fireman gets paid from the $32K from the police?
Absolutely, sir. No. We'll share that. Okay, moving on. Next item on the list is the museum boardwalk replacement. The replacement's been deferred for a couple of years, as you can see. Yeah, I'm sorry. Oh, I'm sorry. I missed. Thank you. I'm rushing ahead. The second set of firefighter bunker gear. We asked for that last year. We're asking for it again this year. This would give each firefighter a second set of gear. So if they had an incident where their primary set got soiled, while that gear is being washed and dried, they would have a clean, fresh, uncontaminated set of gear to respond to other calls in. It's becoming the industry standard. If we don't do it all at once, we're going to do it piecemeal. This proposal here, it says mid-year because if we order it in October, we're not going to get it till mid-year. It's taking that long, if not longer, to manufacture and deliver the bunker gear. So depending on how the budget is, we may just have to do it a little bit at a time over a few years. Our current bunker gear, as far as age is concerned, is all less than 5 years old. There's about a 10-year lifespan. There is a 10-year lifespan on bunker gear. At 10 years, it goes away. you can't use it. It's got to be replaced. So we're already in a replacement schedule for our current bunker year. This would just be added to it. It is what it is. So we do have a washing machine right now that we can wash bunker gear in, and we're trying to get a dryer in the general fund for next year as well. So right now it just air dries. So any questions on that?
How many sets of gear is this?
It'll be 15.
15.
Yeah.
Have you considered, like, doing two a year?
Yes.
Or something like
yes.
that?
Yes. We're looking at everything. The best way to do it, obviously, is to get them all at once. It's also good to do a little bit at a time because then they cycle.
Right.
You know, you're not doing all at once. And that, I think that's the scenario that you're going to see. I don't think we're going to be able to get 15 sets of gear in 1 year. I just don't. So I think we're probably going to end up, you know, piecemealing it, you know, maybe three sets, four sets, five, you know, a year. So yeah, we're looking at that. Anything else on that? Okay. The boardwalk. Finally got to the boardwalk. The replacement on this thing has been deferred for a couple of years, as you can see. And you may notice that the price goes up a little bit every year. And it's going up again this year. We've been band-aiding this thing for long enough. It's not a immediate safety hazard because Public Works has done such a good job of keeping it together and keeping it safe. But we're getting to the point where you just can't do that anymore. It's got to be replaced. It's time. We need to take care of it. We need to do it the right way. And this is unfortunately what it's going to cost to replace that boardwalk. Cost what it costs.
This actually really surprised me when I joined the board because I had no clue that the museum was actually part of the city. I thought it was a 501c private organization, I guess. But obviously it's there's a lot of history in Ponce Inlet, and it's very interesting. And but does the cultural board is overall in charge of the museum, correct?
They're the advisory board for the museum for cultural services, just like this board is for us.
But I guess I kind of sit there and wonder, instead of the city having to support the museum, has the museum ever done any fundraisers of any sort?
I can tell you for a long time they've tried that. There just isn't. We don't have the volunteer corps to even put on a donation drive. We just don't. We started when they took possession of the museum and got it renovated. We had lots of volunteers. We had volunteer staff in it. We were tripping over volunteers. But as time has gone on, that goes away, and now we are staffing it with full-time town staff. And we could look at donations community-wide to do that. This is not something I want to do donations for. This is not a donation thing. This is a maintenance operating expense that we need to take care of now. I don't want to put it off another year. So now, to your point, we could do donations for other projects or enhancements. No doubt, no problem. This is not an enhancement. This is a repair. This is a need.
And you're citing safety issues here in your explanation.
We're getting to that point. Mm-hmm. It's not immediately safe or dangerous right now, but you know, every time Public Works has to do something, there's less to do something with, and we've got to change that. So, and I know the board. It wasn't on last year's because it was deferred, but it's before you now. So we could use your support in pushing this through when it gets to council. Moving on.
Can I ask a quick question?
Yes, please.
I'm sorry. So is that number include contingency? Because you would obviously have to buy the materials when, you know what I'm saying?
Yes. We always do worst case. We think what's worst case. Sometimes it's not worst case. Sometimes it's less than worst case. But yes, that's the number includes all of that, yes.
So if it wasn't worst case, what's the procedure?
As far as if it didn't cost that much?
If it costs more.
If it costs more, depends on what it costs. And there's a process as far as getting additional funds, either from someplace else in the budget or doing a supplemental appropriation.
Okay.
So it's a great question. If it's cost $80,000 and we only have $65,000 to do it, we're going to find the additional funds to do it. We will.
Okay.
I hope, right, Mike? I'm sorry, I don't want to speak for that. But that's just the way that it is. And we do run into that from time to time. So, anything else on that? The backup power load stretcher. So, our ambulance has a stretcher that loads itself, that you don't have to lift up. And when I started the business 30 years ago, you had to lift everything up. And guys like me have shot backs and knees and hips. This thing has been a godsend to our crews, and it's becoming an industry standard. You really can't go any place that provides transport that they don't have this piece of equipment. We only have one in our primary ambulance now. If it breaks down or it fails, we call service, they come fix it, but that may not be till the next day. What we end up doing is reaching out to our other transporting agencies and see if they have a spare, we'll use their spare to get it in service. And if they don't, the ambulance goes out of service. It doesn't happen a lot, but it does happen, you know, once or twice a year, and that's one or two times too many as far as I'm concerned. So we would like to acquire a second power load stretcher. It would be in our backup ambulance, so it would be a backup stretcher if their primary failed, but also it gives us an opportunity to have a second ambulance that if we needed to put it in service for hurricanes or special events, if I wanted to staff it and stick it in the shores for the day to keep our truck in town, it gives us that capability. We don't have that right now. So we're asking to consider purchasing a second stretcher. In fact, the new one would be the primary and the old one would be the backup. So now the priority with that and the Cascade system flipped. You'll notice that in the memo. The Cascade system is old and it needs to be replaced, but it's serviceable. It passes certification and it works. If it dies, we have the Shores and Port Orange if we need to fill air bottles. And that need is not very frequent, luckily. But the need for that stretcher is. So we, Chief Vonderville and I discussed it, and we felt that was an appropriate swap to change those out. But we still need to replace that Cascade system at some point. Any questions on that?
Not on that, Chief, but you have it listed as number 9 and skipped 8, so we're going to refer to that as number 8.
That's my fault.
But that'll be number 8.
Yeah, it'll be number 8. Yes, sir.
Okay.
When that stretcher goes out, you take the ambulance out of service? You don't use the ambulance as a regular stretcher?
No. You don't use regular stretchers. There are no regular stretchers. The mounting system in that is specific to that stretcher.
So it knocks out the whole ambulance?
Yep, it does, until I get a stretcher in service. Yep. Again, it doesn't happen frequently, but it does happen, and we want to prevent that from happening. So here we are. So that is your primary top 8 items for next fiscal year. And I just want to kind of circle back a little bit. You're going to probably see in the next items that we recommend for deferral next year, all of those are split 50-50 with the water fund. So half of that number is what the town general fund would fund. The other half would come out of the water fund. The replacement backhoe was not on the original memo. That was an oversight on my part, I'll be honest with you. And Fred's been beating me up about getting this thing replaced, and it just slipped off the radar. So we've brought it before you for your awareness. We do think we can get another year out of this backhoe. I've been here 23 years. It was here probably 10 years before I got here. And we just last year spent, I want to say, $20,000 or $30,000 on doing some refurbishment to it. So it's time. We are also trying to consider lease purchases with this thing as well, so we don't have to pay as much out of pocket or just doing an outright lease like we're doing with the town vehicles. So we're looking at alternate ways to fund it. But we think we can defer that until 25 and 26.
Gee, did you say that was not on the memo? Because it was on the memo, and I was actually surprised you moved it down.
It wasn't on the January memo. It was on the one that you got recently. Okay. The original memo was not on.
Okay.
I didn't want you to think we were trying to do something sneaky. It was just an oversight. So,
never.
Same thing with the Public Works parking lot expansion. We feel we need to do that, but we know there's going to be some changes in that footprint down there at Public Works. So it's probably going to take us another year to kind of get everything settled out down there. So we think we can defer that another year, or at a minimum, lock in the design for what we want to do and get pricing for that. So I think we might be able to do that next fiscal year. That won't be $50,000.
Will that have to go to the planning board?
No, it shouldn't be. But that's what we're doing. That's one of the things that we're looking at, is if we do have to rezone or reconfigure it, that's part of what we're dealing with. That's why we wanted to give it another year, to see if we had to make any of those changes. We had plenty of time to do that. So we hope to not go to the planning board, but if we do, we should have time to do that.
I just noticed, like, the tree removal and that kind of thing, they're pretty sticklers about that sort of thing.
Absolutely. And we know that property is in a very sensitive area, so we want to be very deliberate in everything that we do, because it could, even though it may not directly impact the neighbors, they're going to see it, and it's going to be an issue. And we want to be aware of that, and we want to make sure that they're involved and everybody's, you know, involved in this whole process. So we want to take our time with that, make sure we do it the right way. The Public Works locker room expansion, again, quick history. I remember when that building was built. It's probably been 20 years ago, and the day they moved into it, they were out of space. They were out of room, and that's when they had 4 people working for Public Works. And now we have 9, 10, and they're tripping over each other. And we need to make some modifications to the building. And this is a relatively minor modification, although it costs not a minor amount of money. That would give us a lot more capability, give these folks a real locker room, a place to change, a place to shower, and some additional space within the building just to live. It's those guys, I'm telling you, they work the hardest, and I think sometimes they have the worst facilities down there. It's we've got to do something for these guys. But we're going to defer it another year. Again, we want to do the design properly, and that may dovetail into the other projects that we have going on down there. So just to be on the safe side, we want to just take it one more year and do it the right way. Give us as much time as we could get it. So you will see that again. The other items that you see, we took these off. Some of these were on, they were on the original and in the subsequent memo. The street revitalization, the town manager and I had a conversation on this. With the septic to sewer project, hopefully starting within the next, however long, soon, hopefully, we'll see. We wanted to kind of reevaluate what streets needed to be paved. We felt it would be appropriate to have a study done on the streets in town and have somebody come in and assess all the streets and give us a plan. This is where you should start. So we are getting the most bang for our buck and addressing areas that are truly problematic. Fred, as Public Works Director, absolutely could do this, but I've got enough stuff for him to do, and this really is a specialty that we could pay. Definitely not $75,000. It'd be far less than that. It'd be under $50,000 to have that done. And that would give us a plan for the future. So we could really budget accurately street resurfacing, which needs to be done. So that's our plan to do that as part of the general fund budget in next year's budget. We're just going to fund that out of that, hopefully fund that out of that budget. Same thing with the storm pipe and swale. We looked at that. That's really a maintenance thing. It's not a project to one area or one section. That really is town-wide. So really, I'm considering that just general maintenance. So that's why that's been taken off your list. We're going to include that in the regular budget, just as maintenance. And the automatic waterline flusher, the reason you don't have that in the priority list, that is funded totally out of the water fund. And it wouldn't be right to put something that's not funded from general fund in a competitive list with general fund items. So we took that out. It's its own item. We can fund it with the general funds that we, or the water system funds that we have. And we recommend proceeding with that, and we would like your support in deploying those flushers. And with that, I guess the last thing I have is, as I said before, the second page, we put together a status of where we are with projects that we have started or thought about starting last year and where they are. It's the second sheet. And it's just for your information to let you know what we're doing, what we've done, and what we're going to be doing the rest of this fiscal year.
And you got the vacant lot mowing contract. That's off the table.
That's off the table.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
So, Chief, that replacement backhoe, the $125,000, the impact on the budget this year, or if we push it to next year, would be $62,500. The rest is through the water fund.
I'm sorry.
The impact on next year's budget, if we chose to consider the backhoe, would be a $62,500 impact,
yes.
And the rest, there's money in the water fund to fund
That's
it.
Correct. Yep.
Okay. I have to ask, since I'm the newest member on the board, so last year, these capital projects that were actually budgeted was $645,460, correct?
That was, yes.
So that's capital projects that were added to the general budget.
Those are the projects that were funded basically out of this list. That's what was funded.
So basically what we're approving is any above and beyond capital projects to come out of the general fund.
So this list is this current fiscal year that we're in now, and this was approved last March.
So last year was $645,460.
Right.
This year, basically, you're asking for $627,000.
This is a whole new list.
Yeah, but I'm just saying, so it's actually less than last year.
We can make it more.
Sure, well,
I was just wondering, so
yes,
how much money is actually available for capital projects every year?
Well, I'll let Mike address that.
The money man.
Yeah, this was intended to show that the request last year was actually $1,049,000.
Right.
And that was what was recommended for approval by this board. What wound up getting in the budget approved by the council was a lesser item, $645,000. That's when you have to take in lots of other considerations that this board doesn't even look at. You know, all the other departments, rising costs of insurance, and you name it. So what we wound up with is the $645,000 number. That's what that was intended to show. So, yeah, cool. These budgets, I mean, every year it's all about choices. You know? So this is one piece of the puzzle that the council is looking at.
Okay, so basically we're approving that, yes, we can see the justification of why the town needs these items, and that's what
right.
we're
Right, yeah,
approving.
We start with it at this time of the year. A lot of the information that we need, that the council needs to make the complete budget picture, we don't even get until like May or June.
And you that's know, so really we, the council's issue.
Right. Mm-hmm. And, of course, you saw there's that one, the one-way stormwater valves. That wasn't even proposed at this time last year, but it came up in subsequent discussions at budget hearings and workshops with the council. So that was added in at that point. And then, of course, and we got to cut something else.
Okay, thank you. I was just trying to understand
yeah,
how
sure.
this all works.
Yeah, no problem.
And Mr. Disher? You were part of this meeting today, or did you staff do this and present this to you? Were you part of this, and everybody's in agreement that these eight items are your top
priorities?
Yeah,
this wasn't just Dan. No, we went over it together.
Right.
Yeah.
And my point being is there's a lot of things here, and Mr. Disher, but doing this made our job a whole lot easier, helps us to make a decision, because they work with these items throughout the year. They know what's most important. They talk to the citizens, and they talk to the city council. So I put a lot of validity in what they've presented here tonight. So my question is, Ms. Shibato, is this document part of our meeting? Can we vote on a motion? Do I have to vote individually to move forward, or can we just say that we support the recommendations of staff on items 1 through 8 to move forward as recommendation for consideration for funding by the city council. Can we do one like
that? I'd just like to make a comment about the...
Yes.
I'm in agreement with everything on here, except... And I agree that the museum boardwalk needs to be replaced. It sounds like, you know, it's time to do it. It's just sad that there's not the volunteers to put together fundraising and to support the museum in the town. As that would have been nice to see something like that, and it's really surprising to me that there isn't the volunteer support.
Yeah, I'm not disagreeing with you. I just think that, and that can be something that could be looked at in the future and recommended to the city council, or maybe they can identify somebody in the community that want to take that project on. But the immediate need is to fund that boardwalk for, as Chief mentioned, there are safety issues in this next budget.
Agreed.
That doesn't mean it can't still happen.
I could add a little bit to that. So that museum was funded in large part by grants that we got. Also town money, of course, but I think it was like a 50-50 match. Those grants came with conditions that we operate the museum and keep it open to the public for a certain length of time. So if we don't do that, then we essentially have to forfeit over that money. So our main obligation now is to keep it safe and open to the public. I believe our obligation ends, it's actually coming up pretty soon in 2028. But until then, we have an obligation to keep it maintained and open to the public.
Thank you.
Yeah, and we have had a lot of volunteers, but it's basically for programming, you know, putting on different events, that kind of thing. But, you know, asking volunteers to pony up money for it, you know, I don't think we've done that.
It might be time, if it does end in 2028, it might be time to start putting together a volunteer force or trying to urge for the public to get involved.
Mm-hmm. That's a good idea. Thank you.
Does anyone on our board have any concerns or questions other than what Ms. Wurst pointed out here with volunteer money for the boardwalk? Does anybody else have any concerns or objections to making a motion to approve funding, a recommendation that the City Council consider funding the projects 1 through 8 on this list?
I just want to...
Oh, public comments? I'm sorry. Would you come up to the mic, please?
First time at a Central Service Board meeting. It's very good. Kathy Harvey, 41 Loggerhead Court.
Excuse me, Kathy. Can you?
Thank you.
Yes.
Okay. I noticed on the vessel, we've been talking about this for a couple years, and I'm glad to see that it's going to come to fruition. There was a grant. There was grant money, and I'm understanding the grant money is included in this, right? On the purchase of the boat? Mike?
Yes, ma'am. There's 40,000.
40,000.
40,000.
From the grant. Good.
From the grant, right.
Okay.
And this, the 80,000 is in addition to that.
Grant. In addition to.
Right.
Okay. Okay. So, okay, good. The grant money got applied. So am I understanding that it will be a patrol, primarily a police patrol boat, primarily? It'll be an officer, and then there will always be an EMT on that vessel, or no?
Jeff Glazier, Ponson, the police department. So mainly patrol, that's correct, enforcement on the waters. We can't guarantee there will always be an EMT on there. But our goal, and again, it's a work in progress, is to have both police officers and firefighters certified to be boat operators. And so if we can put them both together, I think it's probably a better scenario for the public.
Right.
Because if any scenario occurs, and I actually would expect more emergency calls for fire than police. I would expect more emergencies, more drunken, you know, more medical calls. But we don't have the staffing plan yet.
Okay.
But our goal is, in order to get it on the water more, is to have both police and fire operators certified.
Okay, because then I had scenarios.
Mm-hmm.
And I was just curious how those scenarios would work. Like, let's say how soon is this going to get on the water? How soon would we get the boat in the water?
So it depends on the budget. It has to be approved by the council and the mayor, and the new budget would take effect October 1st.
Okay.
And so after October 1st is when we would place the order. I would hope to receive the boat in a few months after that.
Okay.
In the meantime, though, we can still train our officers and our firefighters to be ready and to be boat certified before the boat even arrives.
Okay, that's cool. So where is the delineation? If I'm on Disappearing Island and my boat catches fire, I have an engine fire, I have children on board, is this a you or Coast Guard? Who's going to respond?
So, one, it depends if we have the boat on the water and right. If we have boat operators working. If we're on the water, then we can certainly respond. It's not a fire boat, so we won't be putting fires out, but we can help take people off the boat. At the same time, I'm sure that the call will go out to the Coast Guard. And also, I believe it's New Smyrna Beach that is also purchasing a boat during the same budget process.
Oh, okay.
And I believe theirs is a fire boat. But it's probably going to be all of the above.
All of the above.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so if I'm, I hate to say it's probably Karen's family that would be drunk and disorderly, not mine, but let's just say that they're all drunk and disorderly over there. And they've got this boat, and you've got to make an arrest. They've got a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they're all drunk. They're all disorderly. How many people? How are you going to get all these people in that little teeny boat? Just help me out. I'm just trying to picture. I'm not being weird. I'm really trying to picture how the six people that I'm partying with that all deserve to be arrested.
Yeah.
Okay, so how's that work?
No, it's a fair question. It's no different than being in the town and only having two officers patrolling, and we have a huge fight at Hidden Treasures.
Yeah.
Right? You can only arrest who you can arrest.
Right.
You can only go in safely.
Yeah.
And so if you have a whole crowd of 100 people, I'm going to watch them fight for a while. I'm not going to jump into a crowd of 100 people. And that's no different than any police officer anywhere in the country.
Yeah, yeah.
And so maybe we're going to wait for the Coast Guard to show up, or
okay.
Maybe we're going to wait for New Smyrna Beach to show up. But we're going to be very tactful and very safe. And a lot of times you just focus on the big jerk,
yeah.
And you grab him and you take him away, and everything else seems to slow down. But really, it depends on the scenario, and it's hard to kind of come up with the what-if answers.
I like it. It gives me an idea. Thank you. That's what I wanted to know. Thank you.
Thank you for your comments. Does anybody else have any comments from the public regarding any of these items? Okay. Does anybody on the board have any comments on any of the top eight items? I'll make a motion that this board recommend to the City Council that they fund the top eight items on this list to be considered for the 2024-2025 budget. Do I have a second?
I'll second.
Mr. McConaughey, do I have a vote, please? All in favor?
Aye.
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 Okay. That motion passes. We'd like to present that to the city. Okay, let's talk about these other three. I was kind of surprised the black tobacco was put down on that list. I thought from hearing some earlier presentations that there was kind of a need here for a number of reasons, and I talked to Chief this week, as a matter of fact, and it seemed like there's a lot of need, especially if we have a hurricane or a major incident, that backhoe could be of great benefit to this city.
No, great point. If I can just comment to that, if we're flush with money this year, we might be able to move that into next year's budget. But in the grand scheme of things, when you look at the total picture, a lot of those individual items could stand on their own as being the most important or very important, and it's a hard decision to make. The backhoe, because we did put so much money into it last year, it kind of gave us some more use out of it, but that you can only do so many times. So we felt for right now, it's appropriate to defer it one more year. It also gives us time to find the equipment that we need and to fund it, if there are other ways to fund it besides general fund. So that's really why we did that. But your point is well taken. That's why we need to replace it, because it is an important piece of equipment.
Is it used for the, I know we were talking at one point with the storm and everything and the storm runoff for the retention areas of cleaning the retention pond silt layer out
no,
of. It's
no.
not used for any
no,
of that.
No.
That's done separately.
That's a whole different, yeah.
Okay.
Well, we could do it, but we wouldn't get it back out. So we'd make a fountain out of it.
Whether we make a motion to forward that to the city or we don't, do they still hear an argument on, not an argument, but discussion on this? They still hear about that? Sorry?
Yeah, they'll see the same list. Okay. Or whatever list this board recommends, if you wanted to change the order, they're going to see this and the deferrals. They're going to see everything. Absolutely. They'll see everything.
Okay, thank you. Anybody have any conversation or comments regarding on the board regarding the next three items there under the defer to 2526? Any comments on that? Everybody agree that? Go ahead.
I was just wondering about the street revitalization. That if there's, I mean, I just know going up and down Peninsula every day that there's a couple areas that I have to actually swerve around just because they seems such a hazard that I just wonder if there's a higher priority or if it's just going to continue to fix it, put a Band-Aid on it.
Chief, correct me if I'm, or Mr. Disha, correct me if I'm wrong. I believe we have a grant for the street to sewer.
Yeah, and if Stephanie could put up, prepare a little diagram here to show you. This is most of our septic to sewer project. We're in the process of securing money to really build the whole thing, $10.4 million. What you can see is most of those project areas straddle Peninsula. And part of it, when you dig a hole for a sewer, that project winds up and finishes with a new coat of pavement on top. So all of that there that you see in green are going to wind up with brand new roads on top of that. So even though Peninsula is right now, it's really the most needy, it's also going to get repaired as part of the sewer project. So what we want to do is look at the rest of the streets. Everything that you see there that's not in green, excepting Las Olas and Atlantic Avenue, and then the ones that we did on Ponce de Leon and Inland Harbor Road, those all need to be part of the schedule. So that's what we want to look at is what roads need the most that are not going to get otherwise fixed, and then you know how to prioritize that. What's the condition of the road and how much travel does it get, et cetera.
So, Mr. Disher, if I understand correctly, then it's possible that some of those streets could be repaved within this next budget year that aren't affected by the...
Could be, yeah. Now, the phasing, I mean, we had not initially counted on getting all the money at once. That was just back in January. We were making requests to our state legislators to do just one phase. But meanwhile, we were also working on this grant application. It was kind of a long shot, but we got it. So, yeah, now all of a sudden we have the money to do the whole thing. But you can't do it all at once. You still have to figure out what should come first. The phasing before was based on the lowest cost per lot and getting the most lots at that low cost. So it was kind of like bang for your buck. But then we still need to look at kind of what needs to come first with that. But yeah, ultimately they will all get a new coat of asphalt, a new roadbed paved on top of that big hole where the sewer is going.
When does that project begin? The money's here? And when would the street
It's not here yet. It's kind of a weird thing. This money it came through the Department of Environmental Protection, and it's actually done through a hurricane recovery fund. They got a big appropriation from, I believe it's the EPA, the federal level, for disaster relief. And so it's not just us, but a lot of communities in this area were able to get, I think, the Shores, Port Orange all applied and are getting money related to this. The connection there is these properties are all on septic right now, and they were all subject to some degree of flooding during the hurricanes. And so it's not only just hurricane money, but we see this as a resiliency project. As water levels increase over time, those septic systems are subject to failure. So they really need to be put on a sanitary sewer system right now. So we made an application in January. We received notice in February that it was done, but this is just really a preliminary application. Now, it's kind of the reverse of how it would normally work. Normally, you put together a detailed application, and then you get the money. Here, we put together a very simple application. They said, okay, you got the money, but now you got to do the detail part. So our deadline to do that is mid-August. So that's going to require a facilities plan and then a interlocal agreement with the city of Port Orange. So we're in discussions with them now to do that. But ultimately, we have to hope to have this in place by August.
Well, congrats. That's great.
Yeah, that's great news. I was actually going to mention this earlier, but yeah, that's we're really excited about it. This is something, and of course, for those of you that don't know, we've had a sewer master plan for decades now. All these projects are the last properties that are not yet served by sewer. And it's been our goal to get this done for a really long time. We had federal money available to do the design, so all the engineering plans are done for it. It's all designed. We just have not had any money to actually build it. So now it looks like that's going to be in place.
Pretty cool.
Yeah.
Any other questions on any more of these items that are listed on here? Then I will make a motion that items 1 through 3, as listed on this list, be deferred to the 25-26 budget year considerations, although I'm certainly not opposed to the BACO. Anybody else have any comments? Do I have a second?
I'll second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Did that work, Mr. Bono?
Yes.
Okay. And then the items that are not included, that have been listed as not included for other funding reasons or other reasons, we'll just not make a motion on those at this point. Anybody have any comments? Do I have any comments from the public on any of these? Okay. Let's move to the staff reports. Chief Scales.
Thank you. Dan Scales, Public Safety Director, Fire Chief. Fire Department, we've been pretty busy. It's bike week, as you all know, as you can hear. Call volume has been terrible. It probably will start picking up in the next couple of days as the weather stays nice and people start coming into town. We had two employees leave us. One resigned and one had to leave due to medical reasons. That gave us two vacancies. We have filled one, and we're actually in the process of interviewing three other individuals, so we should have those two filled soon. And we're looking to fill the other three positions that were approved for mid-year. And we think we're going to be able to get them filled pretty quickly. We're also in the process of finalizing the design for the fire station modification to house the additional firefighters and give us some more storage space. And preliminary numbers look like we might be able to come under budget from what we originally anticipated for that. So that'll help us get more money to go towards the broken fire truck. So, but things are going very well at the fire department. I can't begin to tell you how much I appreciate Chief Launderville being here. He asks me every day, how am I doing, Chief? And I always say, you're still here, Joe. No, he's doing a fantastic job. He has been an absolute gift to the department and the town. He's a wealth of information. He and Ms. Hugler work really well together. They make a great team. They support each other. And the place is just so much better because of both of the efforts of them and the firefighters that we have. So very happy to be part of this organization, and I thank you all for your support. And I'll answer any questions if you have any.
Thank you, sir. Chief Leisure.
Good evening again. Jeff Glazier, Ponce in the Police Department. Not a lot of information from the police. As you do know, there's a lot of traffic in town. Our guys are very busy. Our traffic stops are up probably 30% to 40% compared to this time last year. A lot of motorcycle traffic the last few days. We're having a lot of motorcycle stops. Motorcycles don't like to stop at stop signs for whatever reason. They like to roll through them. So we've been fairly busy this past week. Last time I talked about the two positions that were afforded to us in this current budget,
We're finalizing the background checks. We're probably very close to making an offer of employment for one of them, and then we just have a little bit more background work to do on the second one, and hopefully we'll make an offer on that one. And then they have to go through a few more battery of tests from medicals and psychologicals and polygraphs before we can actually bring them on board. Other than that, in terms of crime numbers are still very good. Knock on wood, no violent crime. And we've had one bicycle theft, but it was a three-week delayed report. Nothing we can do about that. Other than that, it's been very quiet. Morale in the department is good, excellent, I would say. The guys are getting along, and which is usually the case. But we've got a good team, and you can be proud of them. You can be confident that they know what they're doing. So that's our report.
Thank you, sir. Mr. Griffith. Nice to see you, sir.
Good evening. Fred Griffith, Public Works Director. Real briefly, I'm going to talk about several things very briefly. Water testing continues. The lab, I guess, messed up our tests. Steve had to take more samples today. We have a multitude of tests on the water systems all the time. We've been working on completing the capital projects that you guys were kind enough to approve last year. We're planning for the future, as Dan pointed out. And we're responding to public requests and employee requests and all the buildings, all the things that break need to be fixed. There's a lot. We hired two new employees. One that I got promoted to be a code enforcement officer, or transferred. I don't know if it's a promotion or transfer. I was happy for him. There's more money for him. And he's a very capable young man. And then one passed away. So we've got those two replacements hired. We're very happy and with their performance. We're getting another one, our additional staffer that you guys approved last year. We transferred some money so we could get him hired before half the year went by. And Ike's going to be starting on Monday, so we're all excited with him. He's very, very experienced with Port Orange and has a landscaping business in the past. And he's going to be a big, if you know what Steve looks like, he's a big Steve. He's from Pittsburgh, and he's like a big Steve. And boat dock is complete after a year and a half. Thank God for that. I'm so happy the boat dock is finished. It took us over a year to get Army Corps engineer permits. If you didn't hear the history, they sent it to, what was it, Albuquerque, New Mexico, and then the permit came back, and finally they issued it. It took us 10 times longer to get the permit than it did to do the work, okay? But it is done. As you know, we've been working with Barbara's Army, and we got all the non-native plants removed and all the vining removed, and they laid sod today. And we're going to have the rest of the seeding done around the town hall in about two weeks. When according to the seeding guy, that's when the seeds grow. You have to let it get a little warmer. And so in 2 weeks, we're going to be spraying and reseeding the town hall so all the bare spots are growing really nicely. They're seriously into tree trimming right now. We have consultants working on three stormwater studies, one for Oceanside Village, one for the Las Solas area, in my professional opinion, blocked off drainage from Kelly B and also from Bay Harbor. And we've got an engineer evaluating those to see if we can put in two very small pop-off structures so we can reduce the possibility of flooding for Bay Harbor and for Kelly B in the future. You can blame me for that idea. Hopefully it's a good idea. Anyway, they're evaluating stormwater permitting with St. John's currently, and we'll have that study completed probably within a week. We just completed all the fire hydrant checks. 150 fire hydrants were checked. About 12 of them were determined need to be repaired or replaced. I'm happy to say the PO has been issued, and I emailed the contractor today, and I said, when are you going to be here to fix them? So we've had a couple people call about, why is that notice on the hydrant? Well, that's because they're in bad shape, and we got to do some repair work. There's one that has to actually be replaced. And then after that, we've got 150 inline valves that the company is going to make sure they operate. And I'm afraid we'll probably find some valves that are stuck that we need to find money for to put some inserted valves to replace those valves. If you don't already know, the most important thing when you have a water line break is to shut the water off. Finding the leak is easy. It's where the water is. But shutting off the system, finding the valves, and finding out that the valve's closed, then you can make the repair. So I'm real excited about that, too. As you can tell, I'm excited about a lot of things. I have a great staff of 10 people, or 9 people. We're going to have 10 people on Monday. So thank you. If you have any questions for me, I'll try to answer them. Thank you.
Thank you. Ms. Shabano?
Hi, good evening. Thank you all for coming. I don't really have a whole lot, unless you all have some questions for me. The next meeting we'll have is July 11th.
Yeah. Any status on the 3 open alternate positions?
I'm sorry?
The 3 alternate positions, any status on anybody interested?
I haven't had anybody that has applied. I've been trying. We keep sending it out. Haven't had anybody. So if you know of somebody, please send them our way.
You said July 11th?
Pardon me?
July 11th, is that what you said?
Yes. The next meeting will be July 11th. It was supposed to be scheduled for July 4th. Don't think that would be a good day. So we've rescheduled it to July 11th.
Any questions for Ms. Shabano? No. Do we have any public comments on anything that was discussed tonight? Okay. Personally, I'd like to thank Mr. Disher and all the staff for not only answering all of our questions, but you certainly made our job a lot easier by meeting and providing this kind of priority list that you see as priorities as well. So that worked last year. It seemed to work very well this year. So thank you for that. And does anybody else have anything? So without any further ado, the Essential Services Advisory Board meeting will adjourn at 7:26. Thank you.
We get a chip.